Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, I want to welcome everybody tonight. Did I get you? Okay, next on the agenda is roll call, and we have all council here tonight. And 1.4 is citizen input, and that is for any citizens here that would like to address the council on business that is not on tonight, but is council business. We'll give you up to 5 minutes. State your name and address when you come to the mic. And go ahead, Sean.
Actually, the question I have is about, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street here in town. Question I have is a little farther down the road, but I want to raise the question right here. On the preparatory notes for tonight's meeting, the agenda memo, mm-hmm. It says here on this that this is the agenda item resolution to accept the Main Street 2010 Street and Infrastructure Improvements Project. Let's see. It says budget. Additions to contract, $51,664,000. Mm-hmm. The paragraph in here, it says a major improvement was grading and paving the alley between First Avenue and Broadway south of Main Street. I asked before the meeting Mr. Julius about how much was that for that work there, and he said it was about $22,000. Mm-hmm. And just correct. To be clear, watching that intersection down there in the alley, that area down there for the last 25 years, it's a low spot in the city. Over the years, the city public works had raised up the elevation of the alley, and it used to have a slope down to a drain. Over time, that level was raised up and made flat. That caused flooding difficulties for businesses up and down Main Street and on Hemlock in that adjacent to that alleyway right there. So in actuality, grading that was not an improvement. That was a restoration to the way that it should have been all along. The thing that I have a little bit of trouble with is paving. And I want to know how much did it cost for pavement in the alley. I also want to know if that was part of a local improvement district action or if that was a private work order. Thank you.
Okay. We'll be addressing that when we get to that part in the meeting, so Larry will be getting up on that. So any other things on that council would like to address, or citizens, I mean? Okay, we'll close the citizen input part, and do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
I'll move.
Okay, Dan first, do I have a second?
Second.
Ken Kaler, or Johnson second, sorry. Any discussion?
I have discussion. I don't want to make a big issue out of it, excuse me, tonight, but it says on there if we want something removed from the consent agenda, now's the time to discuss it. But the 3.5 on the consent agenda to accept the paint project, although this project is small in scope compared to the street project we just did, I still think it's been our mode of operation that we separate these items out, get a little presentation about how they progressed, what the final outcome was, and address questions from council about these bid projects that we approve. So just a note, in the future I would like those off the consent agenda and as a separate item under current business, so it gives us a chance to go back and forth about how these bid projects, the resolution of them. I don't know how the rest of the council feels.
Yeah, how does the council feel? Yes? Okay. All right. In the future, then, we'll keep them all in current business. Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Mayor, do you want to move that down to tonight's agenda? We're prepared to discuss.
Oh, you are? You want to drop down?
I do.
Okay. We'll drop it down then.
Sure.
Okay. That'll be the last agenda, part of the agenda. Okay, so approval of agenda with the change how are we going to put that? 3.5 will now become moved down into current business. Resolution to accept the City Hall painting project. 4.4, no, it'll be 4.5 will be on the agenda. So now we need to do an amendment by the people that made a motion?
No, you've got consensus to.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
It seemed like me there was a motion on the floor.
So we had a motion on the floor, so do we need to have it?
There's a motion, we've got to finish it.
Yeah, we have to finish that, I believe. So, all in favor or with the.
Okay.
To make it easier, I would amend my motion to move item 4.4 to the general agenda.
Okay.
Is that
right, Catherine?
3.5.
Do we have a. Who was the second on this?
I was the second.
That's fine. Okay. So we have that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay. It is done. Okay, where are we at now? All right. Okay, then the approval of the agenda, less 3.5. Do I hear a motion for that?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Gina first.
Second.
Who second? Charles? Any discussion on that one? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. All right, get down there. Okay, 4.1, current business, consideration of DOT design, Highway 26/First Avenue.
Let's go right to the map, Mike. Good evening, Mayor and Council. Recall our last meeting, Department of Transportation was here as well as some of the local business owners. And we had quite a discussion relative to the upcoming DOT project. Since that meeting, we've had some discussions, and the mayor has put pen to paper and has a proposal that we're going to go over tonight. Now, in general, the proposal has been reviewed by DOT and has conceptually approved of this. So if you approve of this tonight, DOT will put this concept on paper as far as construction drawings, and we move ahead. I would ask that you consider this drawing as a document to adopt, and if you have any comments, we'll make a separate list of those comments. Like, I know Councilmember Kaler is concerned about trucks turning left. That is not on here, but we can make that as a separate list. In addition to this document, we'll send to DOT if you approve that tonight. So I'd like to generally explain it. Again, this is the mayor's project, so we can review what's happened here. Can you move it up, Mike? Put this, there you go, up, down just a little bit. A little bit more, there you go, perfect. What we have is we had some issues relative to the center island. The major proponent of the safety issue is DOT. The island is to prevent cross traffic, First Avenue over to what we call the spur. The island will remain in the mayor's concept, as we all know. That's the safety driven part. The other part was, from our business owner standpoint, is the amount of traffic that would go by their business anticipating sales. So what this drawing does, it adds the ability, this is First Avenue, adds the ability to turn left onto Highway 26. Now, one of the problems with the safety was travelers coming east, and this is a hill, and as truckers or people turn left here, they turned into the travel portion of the lane. People coming over the hill at an accelerated speed like 55, this is a very short throw in here, and people driving and just starting to accelerate would be in the traffic lane. So what we've added, what the mayor added, is an acceleration lane right here. So as people turn left, they go into the acceleration lane, get up to speed, and then merge into the travel lane, just as you would on a freeway. Only this is merging to the right instead of the left normally. So this gives everybody an opportunity to get up to speed here and then merge into traffic here.
So that takes care of, can traffic turn left and right off First Avenue? The answer is yes. Now, how do we satisfy the concerns of the business owner that are concerned, and the businesses are right in here and across First Avenue here? How do we satisfy their concerns that we've limited or cut off traffic to pass by their businesses? Well, the way that we had talked about before was one way of posing traffic on both Columbia Street right here and then Waluk Street here. Columbia Street would go from west to east, thereby routing all the traffic down to 26 to either turn left or turn right. So all traffic goes by all the business in this corridor.
Excuse me, Heyman. That isn't quite what I meant. Sorry. Just the people that want to go west would be going that direction. We still have the east, the right-hand turn off of the little spur there on First, where they can come up. That's how they DOT had it originally drawn up. You guys, they could do that turn, but there is no left turn coming from the east to turn that direction. That's where the acceleration lane would come from. The turn lane, that's right now, we'd convert it to an acceleration lane. I don't know how much more, I don't know how long they have to be, I have no idea, but you know, just a thought I had was to do that. That way we get that left-hand turn lane to make the ease of business to come in there and get back out onto the highway. That was a thought behind that.
So just to put the red dots in the mayor's comments, traffic traveling west would no longer be able to turn left here.
Correct.
Because that now becomes acceleration lane for this left-hand turn. Did I clear that up, Mayor?
Yes, thank you.
If we could lower the screen a little bit, Mike, I want to show up at the top. There are some other things that come into play here. First, back to the one-way traffic. One-way traffic would come around, would go north on Broadway, and then east on Columbia, and then to get to 26 would go south on First, and then turn either left or right. In addition, we're proposing that Waluk be a one-way street going west to Broadway, and that makes a loop of traffic here. So we have taken care of concerns here, safety concerns. We've taken care of, I believe, and the business owners are here to comment if they would, taking care of most of the concerns, if not all, of the concerns of the business owners. The mayor's also put on his mayor's concept the site visibility problem on the spur. This is Broadway, it's a spur, and there's a site visibility right here of a berm. Now DOT is going to review that. There's some issue of lateral support for the overpass, and they're going to look into that. Can they take any more of this berm fill out or not? At this point, they're going to review that. Again, for site visibility.
Excuse me, Eamon. Just since DOT's here, a concern I have is right now that people walk on the street side of your supports on the bridge. So I was hoping that maybe a foot or two of that dirt could come out, because by dropping a little bit, the site change is huge. Because I went by and just looked at it and sat in a car and also develop a sidewalk right through there with maybe a small wall to get the dirt back. But that was sort of the thought right in there, was try to clean that up so that people aren't on the traffic side of that bridge. There's no protection at all for them walking through there, and there's a fair amount of people that go through there.
Can I make a comment toward that? I think what you could consider there is pulling that bank back and put in a small retaining wall in there, put some tiebacks in there, do the same thing as that bank does, and then you would have room for a walkway, whatever we need there, and not interfere with the configuration of your overpass, and it would take care of the site problem as well as the traffic or pedestrian traffic.
The other thing that the mayor's concept drawing has is, recall there's a potato shed right here, and part of that was going to have to be removed at a cost of approximately $91,000. That's an engineer's estimate. With the traffic concept coming here and this being one lane, that eliminates the need to alter this building at all. And particularly if we narrow down this lane, so this becomes one lane here, so the truck traffic turns right And since there's two lanes here, they can make a wide sprint, wide turn here, and therefore facilitate making that turn with the radius that's there instead of taking out part of this corner. So again, conceptually, DOT has reviewed this. They don't see any major flaws in it, and conceptually have said to the city, we'll accept that, and you have that email in your board docs. So tonight we're asking that if you are so inclined to adopt this plan, it will be reduced to paper for engineered drawings. If we have other concerns, we can list those on a separate sheet and send that along to DOT and say, please consider these other issues, but we have adopted this. Now, with that being said, if there are any questions, the mayor's here to answer those.
Okay.
It's his concept.
Yeah, it is.
No, we're all here to answer. The engineers are here. DOT is here.
Go ahead. Can you state your name, please, when you stand up?
Lance Silva, Wenatchee Patrol, Illinois. We represent the 76 and the Shell Station there. And I like this. I think we can live with this. It might even improve some of the traffic flow. So what we see here right now, we're comfortable with. Thank you.
It is broad. You're proposing to keep Broadway one lane clear to Columbia?
Is that on the one side, on the east side? You know, there's little white hash marks
on the west
that put
side,
in.
Yeah. It is to
east side.
East side of Broadway, going north.
So by the onion sheds there, it'll still be just one lane.
Correct.
How is that going to work when the onion shed has to shut off the area? Right now, they shut off a lane when they have to unload.
That's a good question, and I'm glad you answered that, because it actually works quite well. That lane's already blocked off, so that's the lane that they use. So it works out very well for when they use a potato shed.
Gives them a bigger turning.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, by keeping the vehicles out wider. You don't have to touch that shed. It's a lot of money.
Yeah. You know. And that brings up the last question, the last issue. The mayor's thinking was that since we're saving monies here and throughout the project, that if there's monies available, and because we're rerouting traffic down Columbia and Waloop, that if there's monies available, perhaps that we could talk to DOT about paving Columbia and Waloop for the city during this project.
I have a question.
Yes, state your name, please. And. They usually use the center lane. I drive it all the time. So they usually pull into the center lane and sit in it waiting to do that. That's how they usually navigate that. Yeah, in the center lane, yes. In between the two lanes, the two sides, there's a center lane that traffic pulls into and uses.
They sit there now.
Yeah, they do it right now.
A couple of thoughts. The corner off of the spur coming on to
right here to Broadway and the spur,
if that's lowered, it will help. I pulled up there the other day behind two trucks, and one guy turned left and the next guy turned right, but we sat there for quite a while. He kept waiting. I thought, what's he waiting for? And a car would go by and we'd wait some more, and evidently by the time he got up far enough he could see, when he made the turn, the front of his truck was in the oncoming lane of traffic. So he was waiting until he got enough room that he could get around that corner. So if you can see, I think you can, because there was no problem with his trailer. He had plenty of room with the trailer, but he had to get out far enough that the truck was going to swing into the oncoming lane. And so that was a problem. The other thing I thought of, and I'm sure somebody thinks this is nuts, but Highway 24, isn't there some way that could come off, like up on Reynolds Road, and go south down to Hampton Road, and then over? And that way would keep it going, you know, a lot of that, any traffic going to 24 would keep it out of that intersection. But you don't want to put it on bench because that's an intersection, that's another question altogether. But if you could take it down like to Hampton Road, and then they could make the left or right, you know, there on 24 instead of doing it right there with that spur, which is short enough as it is. So that was just a thought.
They could certainly use that as an alternative or an option. What we will need to do once this is in play, as we have previously with the industries, is give them maps on the best routing and the truck routes to town. They send those maps by fax to their vendors that are coming to Othello. So that gives them a heads up on how to enter Othello, and that can be an option.
The other thing, I guess, is I think in the long run, we're going to run into part of the same problem on 14th Avenue, actually, and Reynolds Road, because as more traffic begins to come in there, because a lot of people stop there, and a lot of people turn in that intersection. So eventually we're going to end with a problem there. So we've got a short-term solution to maybe a long-term problem. So, and stick that.
Any more questions from the citizens or statements? Council, any more questions?
Me.
Go ahead.
We're talking about approve and endorse and all these words. I don't want to put the cart before the horse again on this and saying we, quote, approve this, because I know Mr. Lawrence is going to be in here and he's not going to like this one bit because of the one way in front of his business. So I agree we should go ahead with this conceptually, but I think we need to have the public hearing and present it to the public before we, quote, endorse it and get other businesses who are affected opinion on this. Because until some of the business owners stepped up, you know, we were going down another road. So I would like to proceed with a drawing that's labeled that people understand, have a public hearing before I approve or endorse this.
Well, that's the bridge we're trying to make, is getting it to paper, and that's how I started. If we'll say conceptually we approve this, it gets reduced to paper, and then we can have a public hearing with a regular drawing, with an engineered drawing, so we can show people. This is a sketch,
right.
And normally you don't like to work off sketches. So I think if we can move this one step tonight, we can get it reduced to paper as DOT has promised us, and then we can have another look at it.
The thing I'm worried about is if we don't present something to DOT, we already know what it's going to look like. So this was done at 4:30 in the morning. I just started coming to my mind, so I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and it's not an engineering drawing. But I thought, hey, let's present something to DOT and see if they go for it, or at least possibly can accept it, and then we can go from there and hopefully come up with a plan that everybody can live with. You know, so that was the idea behind this. And, you know, talking to the businessmen, sounds like they're interested in it, like it's going to work.
Yes.
You know, as far as Lawrence, he should be here. You know, we sent out letters again, didn't we, to everybody? Because I know Evergreen got one.
Yes.
So, you know, we're sending letters out, trying to get them here so they can speak up. And so I'd like to see us move forward, at least get, like Eamon is saying, let's get a real drawing done here so that we can move forward on this and get it done.
I would like to add, we talk about the list, to add me and myself and Brianna, who's the fellow Outlook writer, got crossed up, and that she said in the paper that I didn't think speed would matter here. And I'll take full responsibility for not being clear on that, but I think speed through there matters a lot. And even with this new design, I would like to see the speed reduced through there. I think it's viable. I think it's make it safer. And when people go from Seattle to Pullman, they don't go 50 miles an hour through Colfax. They learn to slow down, and as one of the council members says, they got to start considering this. This is going through Othello nowadays with our traffic patterns and our businesses. So I would add an addendum that still consider slowing down the speed. I've seen them, pretty easy concept. There's solar powered and there's signs that say speed 40 miles an hour, and then there's a digital below it says your current speed is this, and they don't have to hardwire them or anything. They're just digital. Solar panel up there powering them. So I would still like to lower the speed through this intersection. I think going through here 50 is just a disaster.
Okay, we'll get that on that list.
So. I have to agree with you, Mark, on that one too. I like this concept, driving. I feel speed too is still a factor.
So in the letter back to DOT, I can say it's unanimous from the city council that they consider reduction in speed, along with the concept, whatever you call it, adoption, adherence, whatever you want to call it.
Pre-approval.
Say it again.
Pre-approval.
There you go. I like that one. Thank you. That'll work.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
I agree with Mark, too. I think that was kind of the concept of last meeting, and that's basically the way we all stood. Was we want that speed lowered. I think we give enough different areas in the state that it can be lowered, and I think that is a very major part of this. One more I'd like to add is no left turns eastbound with trucks, because they're only going to go two blocks anyway. They got to go down to Broadway. So that would get rid of a lot of that extra traffic making left turns here and help solve that problem, which I think should be on that list.
Yeah, we'll put it on there, see what they say. Go ahead,
Jim. I was going to say also, I was thinking along the same lines, but I was thinking instead of no eastbound turning traffic with the trucks, why don't we request that we get a longer holding area for the cars so that the trucks can be in there? There's no reason why it couldn't be backed up. There's plenty of room. I think there's plenty of room there that they could have a much longer holding area.
Longer left turn pocket.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
What we got now, you get a truck in there and you haven't got any room for cars. They get in the through traffic and they're blocking that too.
Yeah. Even on a truck deal though, Mark would know this, you rarely see a truck in that turn lane. I sit there all day. It's always cars, cars, cars. The trucks are always turning around the loop, trying to make that loop right there and drop the trailers in the borrow pit and come around and
But I think
if you
had the longer holding pocket, it's
yeah,
not going to do
it is pretty
any
short.
Harm either way.
Correct. But I don't see the truck turning thing as an issue, at least I've never seen it.
I think that's an excellent idea, though.
Yeah, it is a good idea.
You try to route the trucks, because like you say, they don't go anywhere down first anyway. I don't know, it might be like a courtesy thing you put up. Please.
That's good. I can't agree with Mark as far as the speed limit goes. Now, when you go to Moses Lake, that first stoplight up there, before you get to the highway, there's a sign up there that says 45. Okay, there's a stop sign there, but it's the same part of the same problem on that road that you have here, because you're coming over an overpass, and you can't see over that overpass. So the speed limit is down to 45 because of sight problem, I think, more than anything else. People trying to get on the freeway or trying to get on 17. So I don't see why in the world that can't be done down here. That just seems like to me you can cut that down to 45 and put lights up there, signs there.
And that's the first item on our suggested list is speed reduction through the area. So we're asking for pre-approval of the plan with some suggested items for DOT to consider in the reduced engineering drawings, and I have three.
You want to read them out for us before we make the motion?
Speed reduction through the area, no left turn eastbound for trucks, and then extend left turn pocket.
Is that right for council?
And caution lights.
Well, yeah, we brought up caution lights. That was brought up. You want to put
caution
that on
light?
There? before you get to the intersections out there a ways.
Okay.
That was mentioned.
Pre-approved caution lines.
Okay. So how do we want this formed in a motion? Do I hear a motion for approval of the pre-approval of the concept drawing as provided with four considerations?
Items.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Gina first. No second.
Second.
Ken second. Ken Kaler. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Great. We made it. Good.
I'd like to thank the businesses for concurring with the plan. Thank you for your help.
And thank you for coming and putting in, as you guys have done. That helped us see the bigger picture. We appreciate that. So, okay, resolution to accept Main Street 2010 Street and Infrastructure Improvement Project. Larry.
Good evening, Council. The item before you is for the 2010 Street and Infrastructure Improvements Project. In 2010, Council approved the project. The project is now complete and ready for acceptance. From the last couple of meetings, we've discussed a few warranty issues. I'd like to make a quick report on that. And as you may know, warranty are items that come up after the project has gone through substantial completion, which was earlier this year. There are items that the contractor is still required to fix, whatever the deficiency is. There are a few of them having to do with asphalt, particularly down around Broadway and Main. The contractor was out last week and fixed the depression areas that had formed, particularly west of Main on Broadway on the south side. There was some tearing in the asphalt. They came in, they cut out a patch. There was a representative of the company that provided the fabric. He was here, worked with the contractor and their paving contractor to make that fix. It went well. He thought it was a very good solution where they cut out and then put new fabric in and paved over the top of it. There was a depression that had developed on the north side of Broadway, north of Main, and as it turned out, when that was uncovered, there was a sinkhole in there that everyone on site believed was caused by when the sanitary sewer was installed years ago, perhaps some a settlement from non-compaction, and also floods from fields to the north of there, working their way under the asphalt. So that was something that it was agreed was not the contractor's fault, deficiency on the contractor's part. Public Works came in and recompacted the area, and I believe now is working to get a contractor out there to do a pavement patch. The other small little deficiencies around the intersection were also fixed by the contractor. We looked at the wrinkling along Main, particularly in front of CBHA, and with the help of Councilman Kaler, went out with a 10-foot straight edge and looking at the tolerances allowed by Department of Transportation, which the contract's based off of. And the tolerances say that if you are greater than an eighth of an inch in a 10-foot long strip, then you're out of tolerance. All of the areas that we looked at were actually less than a 16th of an inch. So the contractor, in their additional rolling they did a few weeks ago, did some good out there, but there's still a little bit of wrinkles left in front of CBHA. I don't think we're going to be able to get the contractor to come back, unfortunately. They stated at the time when they re-rolled it and were out here last week that they too felt it was within tolerance. I think what's going to happen is over time those wrinkles will dissipate. It's something I think we should keep our eye on. And the two-year warranty that we have, which started once they did their repair work, we should look, and if there's any additional deficiencies that occur within that two-year period, get them back out here. And a letter to them to that effect, I think, would be a prudent measure. We'd be happy to do that. The asphalt deficiency up at 14th, they did fill that in, and that patch there is taken care of as well. We verified that. The settlement of the asphalt around the manholes where they put the concrete diamonds in, they've been out working on that. You've probably seen what looks like some white material around the concrete, or around the mash line between the concrete and the asphalt. That's a sand material that they put in after they put their asphaltic emulsion down so that they don't drag that asphalt back and forth. That'll dissipate with time. They've got a few more of those to do. They didn't quite get them all done today because of the weather, but they are pursuing that to get those complete this week. The other item that's still a warranty issue is the controller for the traffic signal at 14th. If you might recall, the traffic control signal worked at 14th, then it started giving everyone problems. The contractor's manufacturer for the equipment came out, took the new controller equipment out, put the old controller equipment back in, so the light's working fine, and has been attempting to find out what the incompatibility issue is. Now, we talked to them about that again last week and earlier today. They're trying to get that figured out by the end of day or end of this week. There's about 250 I/O points they had to compare, and it's just taken them longer than it should have to get it figured out, but they're still working on it. That again is a warranty issue, and they seem committed to try to find out what the problem is. The budget for the project, the original bid price was the $4.4 million listed here. We had change orders, four different change orders in the amount of a little over $85,000. We had additions to the contract of additional concrete, sidewalk, curb and gutter that were replaced on Main Street. And as Mr. Bates was mentioning, John Bates, right?
Yeah,
sorry. just want to make sure. Asphalt and drainage work on the alley south of Main between First and Broadway, and then additional electrical conduits or stub outs for future beautification along Main Street. The acceptance of the project will authorize the final payment to the contractor and commence the paperwork for staff to complete the budget amendment necessary to pay the contractor, which Mike says he'll have at a future council meeting. At this time, staff is recommending acceptance of the project. And with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from council?
Mark Horst.
Go ahead.
I think we got a little sloppy in defining change order versus additions to contract. And I don't know why, if we put a sidewalk from 7th to 8th, that was a change order, but we asphalt an alley, why is that an addition to contract?
I can quickly answer that. You're absolutely right. That should say change order. We reviewed that with the auditor today, and he said, yep, that should say change order. So you're right, it should say change order.
So is there in the minute somewhere where this council approved the asphalt on the alley between First and Broadway?
That's why it's a change order tonight to the council, and the council discussed it but never approved a change order.
Who pays for that?
Excuse me.
Sean, you need to raise your hand, okay? We just don't speak up out of the audience.
We several council members walked part of the sidewalk project and identified areas that needed to be improved, as well as some drainage in the alley that was needed for all the businesses.
I don't disagree that it was done. I guess just procedurally, we got a little sideways on the deal.
You're right, and we need to own up to that. It was not brought to council for a change order.
I am disappointed also in the specifications that allow my cars to go down a newly asphalted road, and it's so bad it chatters my car, and that's acceptable by the bids. That's a sad state of affairs. I've never heard or seen that before. The third thing is this hole in the pavement north of Main on Broadway. When they say we agreed that was not the contractor's fault, were the city representative in that decision?
Five of us were there for that decision, and it was outside the project. We tried to attribute it to the project. We knew it was outside. We tried to say the heavy equipment and their trucks and things caused that, but after you open it and you stick a 5-foot rod in the hole, both vertically and horizontally, and it comes out clean with no water, no sewage on the end of it. It had been dry for a long time. And then when the city crew opened it, about a 15-by-15-foot hole, it was clear that it had run at some time with water running through it, i.e. the storms that we had. And that was actually a comment from one of the crew members. It was his idea that it came from stormwater. The consensus was on everybody's part that it was not part of the project.
And we did something to prevent it from happening again?
Compacted it the way it should be.
And I guess finally, an accounting question, did we, i.e. Mr. Bailey, look at this final bottom line, figure out total payments, and agree to that we owe him another $115,000 or whatever? Was that the number we came to also?
The number I think we came up with, I think it's around $51,000 additional budget money we need to pay the final bill. The MRM contract had four change orders. The payment that we have withheld isn't in MRM's contract as a change order. So what we need to, well, I think what the auditor was saying is we need to get MRM's contract up to date to match what we're paying them. So part of the thing we're asking for probably at the next meeting is a change order that will bring all of that into proper focus. And then we need some additional money in that fund to pay all the bills. And I believe that is around $51,000.
Okay, I was not clear again. We have the total up there of what we need to pay MRM. So what the balance due is what we've paid them minus that total. Did we match that up, that we owe them what they're billing us for as far as the amount?
Well, I don't actually know what to say about these numbers here. I have a worksheet, and what I did is I went through all of their progress payments. We are holding number 12 right now. So I went through all 11, and after we paid number 11, MRM had like $487 left in their budget, in other words, in their contract. This is not that budget is not the same as the overall fund budget, because that carries a lot of other stuff. It has engineering fees in it. So we have an appropriated budget by council, and that's the overall fund. And then within that, we have MRM, and we have a contract. And we have change orders that have built up to a certain amount. And before, with this last bill, they reached the maximum on that contract. So in order to pay this bill, my numbers show that we have to have a change order to bring the contract up to where it should be, to include the payment that we have now. I think it's $109,000. With retainage, it's like $109,000 something. They're asking, of course, for retainage. Without retainage right now, for like $104,000. I mean, those are rounded numbers. There's some retainage.
I'm just looking at it from what we paid to the vendor, right? And I realize the vendor doesn't care what funds we take it out of, but somewhere there's got to be a spreadsheet that shows what we've paid to MRM. And if it doesn't, that amount minus this total here should be equal to each other, or equal to what the payment is.
The $51,000 number did come from spreadsheet that Mike had put together.
Does anybody else understand what I'm saying? I agree with the number. The total's fine. But what if we paid MRM? Because I don't want to overpay them. Right. So if we can't add up what we paid them and what we owe them and pay them the last one the difference, then we're not ready to approve payment yet, as far as I'm concerned.
Mike did make mention that he has a spreadsheet in his office.
That 11 payments.
Everything matches up. He just don't have it here, is what he was trying to say. And that's what I got from what he was telling me.
Yeah.
And numbers did match up. That's what I got.
In fact, I did it over three times. And I linked up Mike and Larry and had them do separate ones. And we matched those together to make sure that we were balanced on that.
Okay, well, I don't agree with the project that it's finished, because I think it's terrible, and I'm not convinced we are accounted for it right till I see it. So my vote tonight is no, and I'm done.
Ken, do you have something to say?
With my understanding, and they've got a final bill, but we are still holding the retainage, a portion of that, so that will be what, a year, or whatever the lot of time is?
Yeah, the time period typically is a 60-day period, unless the city has not received three releases from the state, the Department of Revenue, Department of Labor and Industries, and Employment Security Department. And those can take anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 or 8 months to obtain, depending upon how busy the state employees are, how large of a contract, whether, for example, the taxes are reviewed in a local revenue office or in Olympia. It could take quite some time, but the minimum is 60 days for the filing of any liens or anything like that. Typically, it takes longer than that.
Hey, Mike, has the auditor gone through this already?
Well, he was looking at Main Street project today, and that's when you approached
me.
I'm
sorry.
Bottom line to your discussion was this has to be a change order.
Yeah. Correct.
There has to be a change order. And next year when they come in for the audit, this is such a big project that I'm sure there'll be a lot of focus on it. So they'll make sure absolutely everything is in compliance. I'm sure of that.
Larry, I got one other question you didn't mention. Last meeting, we had talked about a 2-year extension on the contract.
On the warranty.
Warranty. Okay. Warranty contract, sorry.
For just the deficiencies, not for the entire project, but it's typical for a repair to be made, and that's when that 2-year warranty for that particular item starts again. So if a contractor has to come out 2 or 3 times to fix one item, which sometimes happens on, say, mechanical treatment plants, not so much on a road or a utility project, that 2-year period keeps rolling.
So are the ripples in the road classified a deficiency?
That's what we originally classified them at, because it wasn't smooth. Originally, they were not intolerant, but over time, and the rolling, extra rolling that the contractor did some good, because it's now within tolerances.
All of the areas within tolerance?
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, we spent a few hours out here about a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Ken Kaler went along. Yeah, Ken Kaler went along and observed. And
I may make a comment on that. I was concerned about it. I still am. I think there's problem there, why, I'm not going to say why I think they're there, but there's a lot of them. I don't know, I think we had identified something like 27 or 29 of them up and down the street, and I don't mind saying that's about how many we found. They're not just in certain lanes like we thought they were at first. We thought it was due to the slope and there was ripple effect. But we've got them in flat locations, one right out in front of City Hall here. And I don't know why they magnify so much when you drive up and down that road, but they do. But just the last couple days, if you drive that and look at it, you can actually see them with the water on them from our rain and whatnot. And I want to make this comment to the engineers here. And I don't know whether we're getting a magnified look at it or not, but you can actually see those ripples. And like I say, they're in all five lanes. They're not in just one or two lanes. They're up and down the road there. And it's something that maybe we ought to look at again a little bit. I think we identified the worst ones, and that's the ones that we measured. And like Larry says, they were in tolerance. There was, you could see them, but they were very little. And why they magnify like that, I don't know. Like I say, I wasn't going to say it, but it could be the matting underneath there. It could be from telescoping from up underneath. I don't know. It's something that it's hard to tell exactly what it is. But like Larry said, I think in time that they will dissipate. A couple of reasons, as you drive them in the wintertime, your studded tires, you're going to get rid of a lot of that. That's the best grain that you've got in the country. But it will. We'll take care of some of that, you know.
We don't do that.
According to the state highway department, they are within tolerance.
So a 16th of an inch chatters a car tire.
I think it depends upon the vehicle as also.
It's a Scion. It's got little 13-inch wheels, and it bounces me all over the place. I admit it, but it's still.
Okay. Any more questions by council?
Is what one more? I said I'd shut up, but I can't. Don't we have totally like $200,000 retainage over this whole project?
We have $228,379.11 in total retainage.
Okay.
I've got a question. So we're talking about approving the final payment, not the retainage.
Right.
And legally, since they are within the specifications on the rippling effect or whatever is going on, they fixed all the other things.
Yeah.
Legally, can we withhold that payment?
No. So, Mayor, we'll need two motions, one to approve the change order for 51664, and then one to approve the project.
Okay, do I hear a motion from somebody? I don't want to. Which, do you have to do one or over the other? Doesn't make a difference? Okay. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Is that which one you're going to do?
Change orders.
So additions to the contract you're talking about? Okay. Charles first. So I hear a motion. Okay. Ken Johnson second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. A second, or do I hear another motion to accept the 2010 Street and Infrastructure Improvements Project?
Make that motion.
Mark Snyder first.
I'll second.
Okay, Ken Kaler second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, duly noted. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Larry.
Before Larry gets away, the manhole covers that they were supposed to do, they're out there with a hand grinder and a caulk gun and a putty knife, so I think it would behoove us to have you look at that and make sure they're accomplishing what they're supposed to on that.
Absolutely. We've already been in touch with Terry about coming out and making sure that they do it properly. Thank you.
Okay. Resolution to surplus equipment. Terry?
Good evening, Council. We're going to talk about surplusing some equipment tonight. Staff is requesting the City Council consider the surplus of the following vehicles. Crown Vic, 2003, with 74,889 miles. GMC Sonoma pickup, 2002, with 59,446 miles. GMC Sonoma pickup, 2001, with 55,551 miles. Staff recommendations that these vehicles no longer benefits the city relative to their useful lives. City staff recommends that council approve the surplus of the identified vehicles.
Any questions for Terry?
I forgot to call the fire chief, but they have, I think it's a Crown Vic they use for a command vehicle that looks terrible. Was this talked about, using this one to replace that at all as a...
I believe that we talked, mentioned this to them, and they were happy with the vehicle that they had.
Okay.
Had to put money into it.
And Sonoma pickups, those were the work pickups?
Yeah, those were the work truck. One's out of Public Works, and the old one, and the other one's code enforcement.
Dog catcher.
Dog catcher.
The one he's driving around every day?
Mm-hmm.
What, we got him a new one?
No, the police department was going to surplus the four-wheel drive Excursion, so that's going to the dog catcher. It's 5 years old now, I believe, but he gets stuck sometimes in the winter, and it just, at the dog pound. You ever been down there, you know, it's a pretty steep hill.
Well, we're a pretty fortunate community that we're in surplus vehicles with only 55,000 miles on them. So I think the school district's got some trucks that probably have 255,000 miles on them. But whatever.
This is in preparation for the Booker auction in November.
Okay. So do I hear a motion to surplus the vehicles as recommended by staff?
I'll make that motion.
Gina first.
One second.
Ken Johnson second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, thank you. Okay, 4.4, resolution opposing initiative 1183 relevant to liquor sales. Ken? Kayla, I believe you're the lead man on that one.
Well, as we discussed this a couple meetings back, we do have a resolution here that relates to what we were talking about. It's got a few more added numbers on there than I expected to show, but I think this is an issue that I think the city should look at very carefully. This is our revenue. I know there's a lot of discussion. You look at the television, you can see yes, no, whatever. Same people are talking both directions. You've got law enforcement, you've got sheriffs talking both directions, you've got a little everything. Even myself, I don't know the true facts either. I don't know what's right and what's wrong. But I'm looking at it from the city view here. We collect, or this, state collects the excise tax and the profits from our present liquor sales. This city of 7,400 people, we get $26,000 just from excise tax alone. We get $53,000 that goes into our revenue from the profits. Now, if we no longer have this and it's privatized, I don't know, there's all kinds of figures going on out there, and I don't think anybody knows until it goes through legislature. They'll relook at this and rehash it over. But my feeling is we may end up with a $26,000 excise tax. The profit from the liquor sales will go to whoever's selling it, whoever making the profit, that's where it will go, and you'll no longer have that $53,000. You may have a little portion of it, but I don't think you're going to get total amount. But I think it's something that we should really look at. And if we do approve this resolution to vote, or basically against Initiative 1183. I think we should also send this to AWC, say, hey, we made a commitment, this is the way we feel as far as cities are concerned, and I think that's what we should do. So that's, we a year ago, this same issue basically come up. It was under two initiatives, and we voted, or our council made the stand of being against that resolution at that time, and I think we should continue with that.
Catherine, do you have any, you know anything on this thing at all? Because, boy, it's hard to find anything out. AWC made any comments yet? Eamon? Nothing?
Not that I've heard.
Okay.
Yeah, I am not aware of any cities who have adopted resolutions. That's not to say that they haven't, but I haven't seen any floating about. And as Ken said, there are just as many on both sides of the issues from every department. So it's really a political decision for the council. I will share one interesting note from my 18-year-old who, when it came out in the newspaper, his first reaction was, bad idea. This is going to open it up to access for the younger kids like crazy. So at least from that generation, apparently they are aware of what's happening and what's being proposed. I thought that was interesting.
Discussion?
Without tipping my hat how I feel about this issue, if it comes to motion, can I abstain?
Just a second here. Got to look at how that works.
Well, you can abstain. We're just checking to see if your policy requires that you state a reason.
I purchase alcohol.
When I read this, it says resolution opposing the sale of liquor. So I looked at that and all that is what we want on this resolution. So.
Any other comments from council?
I'm in favor of this resolution, you know, because in here it says 95% enforcement rate, one of the highest in the nation. And I believe that if they put it in the stores and stuff like that, that's just going to give the kids an opportunity to steal it. Every once in a while, you hear in the paper that, you know, somebody up at Leprechaun stole a case of beer off the truck as they're wheeling it in or something, you know, leave the truck opener. I don't know how they do it, but how easy is it for them to be able to grab just a bottle and stick it in their coat instead of, you know, having to go to a liquor store where, you know, that's all they do is sell liquor, so they're going to know if teenage kids are going in there. So I'm all for it.
Okay. So do I hear a motion, Ken?
Yeah. I move to approve resolution against Initiative 1183 and send a copy to AWC.
Second.
Okay, Ken first, Mark Snyder second. Further discussion?
Can I abstain?
You can abstain. Your rules do require that you state the reason for your abstention.
Go ahead, Dan.
Number six says prior to the adoption, a city of Othello is given notice of a meeting at which considered containing the official title and has afforded equal opportunity for meeting for any person. Did we advertise that, put that out, or is that?
We have not advertised the consideration of this resolution.
Can we okay this motion without doing that?
It was on the agenda. Yeah, it wasn't advertised as a separate public hearing. That's not required. But yes, it was. The public had noticed that it was on the agenda for tonight's consideration.
I'm sorry, I was saying public hearing. We didn't do a public hearing, but advertised for the public.
Okay, we have a first and a second.
I abstain.
Okay, reason?
I think it's a personal matter between the voters and the state of Washington, and that there's so many different sides to it that I don't fully understand it, the implications.
Okay. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, I guess we will pursue forward with that. All right, back up to 4.6. Resolution to accept the City Hall paint project. Who's going to do that? Terry?
Mr. Clemens.
Okay, Mr. Clemens.
Good evening.
I can't get into that.
I don't have any literature on this first market. Anyway, we entered into a contract with AA Painting back in September to paint all the exterior wood, prep it and paint all the exterior wood of City Hall. There was two bids sent out. They were the lowest of the two. And so they proceeded to pressure wash all the exterior wood, fascia with minimal to the soffit because it's a waterproof basic sheetrock, the backside of your fascia board. They pressure washed all of that stuff, and then they came back in and put two layers or two coats of paint on it. They also painted the soffit as well. They've completed all of that I can see. It looks really, really good, and we're just asking for acceptance of the project, for the painting project for City Hall.
Questions? Okay, so I hear a motion to accept the painting project of City Hall fascia.
So moved.
Dan first, okay.
Second.
Ken Johnson second. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Thank you, Terry.
Mayor, can I make a comment on this project?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to tell the council, those of you that hadn't driven by or driven up and seen this, that saw this contractor doing the work, they were in full harness when they were on the peaks of the roof, tied off to the other side, exactly what Ellen and I said you have to do. And I complimented them for that, because a lot of contractors don't do that, and they jeopardize their own safety. We could have had an LMI issue, but they were in full harness every time they were on the roof, and I think that's to their compliment.
Good. Okay, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business?
I would just like to mention to Terry that when MRM came in and tore up the road, threw rocks in it, and left town, citizens found that irritating, so as soon as possible we can fill that hole in Broadway. It would be. Okay. Because I was ready to chew into some engineer, but he's off the hook now. So.
Okay. Any other unfinished business? New business. Okay. Mayor's announcements. Reminder, Adams County Fire District number 5 is having their second biannual meeting tomorrow, October 11th at 7 p.m. This meeting will be held at the fire station during the regular commissioner meeting. City Fire Council members Mark Spohr, Mark Snyder, and Dan Deaver. You guys are on board for that one.
Which we won't be able to make.
Which you won't be able to make. Okay.
Your next one down.
Next one down. Oh, yeah. Okay, the Chamber of Commerce. Do we have an alternative? Who can go? Anybody? Mark, are you going to that?
You can go.
Do we have an alternative that'd like to go? Nobody? Okay. All right. Then number two is the Chamber of Commerce is sponsoring a political forum at McFarland Junior High School at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow. And then the Mayor's Luncheon is this Wednesday, October 12th. It will be held at the Othello Senior Center at noon. The menu is as follows: beef, tips, and noodles. Peas, fruit, and cake cost $6, so you're invited to come. It's very educational because we have people from around the county sharing what's happening in their departments and stuff like that. So if you're interested in coming, we'd love to have you. This week's, Dan?
Are you going to bring dinner down to us since we're going to miss dinner at the 12th?
That's what? Oh, yeah, we're in there next. This week's budget committee meeting noon are as followed. Wednesday, October 12th, law enforcement, council members Johnson, Snyder, and Deaver. This meeting will only be held in the police department training rooms. That's real important. That's where you guys are supposed to be. Then October 13th, sewer water, council members Darrow, Deaver, and Kaler. Everybody on for those? I hope. Okay.
Before you do that,
okay.
I have one conflict with the one on the 19th. I've got a general government meeting, and I also have a SWAC meeting over in Richfield that same day, so I don't want to change time or something, so we'll get that together. That's Ken and Charles, I think, and myself.
On the 19th?
Yeah, so maybe we could talk it over between the three of us here and come up with a different timing.
Okay, then work it through Eamon so he can get it scheduled out then. Okay, dope. Well, this meeting's dismissed. Now, well, moving forward on the road, that's a good thing.
So you had an epiphany about traffic patterns, huh?
Well, I woke up at 4:30. Like, my mind was on what happened the night before. And I thought, I sat down, figured out what the bigger, major complaints were, and tried to come up with something. That's all I did. That hopefully would go through the state, because I didn't want the state to have their way on it.
See, I couldn't figure out a way to prevent cross traffic